in Ontario, CFRC.ca from anywhere in the world. This is the CFRC Live Sessions coming at you from the basement of Carruthers Hall on the campus of Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Rue, I'm your Live Sessions host for today, and as ever, this show brings you performances, live sets, and interviews recorded with artists in and around Kingston. But this week's show is a little bit different. While the Live Sessions team is in the thick of exam season, I caught up with a Vancouver punk band called Piss while they were out in Toronto. This live session was recorded at the Houndstooth Bar, and you can find performances of some of the songs that you will hear on the sessions on the CFRC Live Sessions YouTube, filmed by friends of the show Owen and Fig. Piss's music goes beyond what a hardcore punk band does. Fair content warning, on this episode we will talk about sexual violence and abuse, and those themes are present in the songs and the writing of their singer Taylor Zanting. So if this makes you uncomfortable, please turn away now. Piss currently have 3 demos up on their Bandcamp page, which you can find at pisstheband.bandcamp.com, and you can keep up with everything that's happening, their upcoming shows, etc. on their Instagram, which is piss_theband. You can find all things CFRC Live Sessions on our Instagram account and our YouTube. Our handle is CFRC Live Sessions. Also, check out the CFRC funding drive, because we are at the moment trying to raise $25,000 for station upkeep and to keep us going into the next year. And if you enjoy shows like CFRC Live Sessions, it is this funding that makes it possible. Head to CFRC.ca to find out more. Now here are Piss, live from the Houndstooth in Toronto, for the CFRC Live Sessions.
Okay,
so you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. We're a little bit off location. We're not in Kingston. We're out in Toronto. We're doing a bit of a live session, and I'm very happy that all of Piss are joining me, and that is the band's name. I'm not insulting them. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Happy to be here.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
So we're joining you guys backstage, actually in the basement of Houndstooth. Thanks to them for letting us hide out here for a little while. You guys have been on tour. You're like a really cool hardcore punk band. You've been around for a little while. It's really cool to see you in Toronto, but you've been out for a little while, right? Like, you've just come back on tour from Europe.
Yeah. We did our first tour. It was in total 6 weeks, and we got back a couple weeks ago. Then we did a homecoming show in Vancouver, and now we're just here for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. It's a long time to be out on the road.
It was. It was long, I think, for all of us. We learned a lot that hopefully will help us next time, because it was really beautiful and really fun, an overall really, really beautiful experience. But it was super hard on all of us for different reasons, I think.
The reviews that came out of it were incredible. Like, I saw the reviews from Left of the Dial Festival, from like that windmill show in the UK, in Brixton. So many really cool shows, and everybody's just been raving about it. So it feels like you guys are the it band right now.
It was really like exciting, I think, for us, because we played Vancouver, and pretty much only Vancouver, or like British Columbia at least, for almost a year, and playing the exact same set pretty much for a year. To be able to play like night after night for like people who had never seen us before, it really reminds you like what you're doing and why you're doing it. So it was really cool to see the reception. But at the same time, I don't know, it's strange, because with a project like this, when you have like so much positive reception as an artist, you're like, wow, that's amazing. But like when you really zoom out and look at it, it's actually really fucked up that so many people are so enthusiastic about a project that is like about what we're about. So yes. I don't know. It's a strange experience. Like when someone comes up to me after a show and they're like, I love that so much, I resonate so much. Like, how can I take that as a really positive interaction? Mm-hmm. Like, that's horrible every time I'm like faced with a person's like worst experiences. So. Mm-hmm.
And I think before we get into like what you guys do on stage and what the music's about, a bit of a content warning for anyone listening in. We will like get into like themes of sexual assault and stuff, and some pretty heavy stuff. So just for anyone listening in that needs to turn away, this is the point to turn away. But kind of let's set the scene for people. So you guys have been around for, I think, like 2 years as Piss. How did the band get started?
In November, 2 years ago, we all met, sort of like we all came together, but I had known Ty already for a while, and Ty had known the boys for a while. So Ty and I met at a party, and we just like had a lot of overlapping musical interests. And then I was living on Vancouver Island at the time, and had gone through like a really shitty break up. And I was going to move. I actually grew up in Oshawa, like around here. So I lived in Toronto and I was going to move back here. But Ty was like, don't do that. Move into my basement and
join my punk band.
So I was like, okay, fine. I was like super depressed. So, and it was like the best decision I ever made. These guys knew each other through the Vancouver music scene.
Playing folk music bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about that actually. Yeah, because you guys come from such different musical backgrounds. Like some of you are more into indie, some more into folk. You yourself come from a bit of a hardcore punk background. So was it always the plan to be in like a hardcore punk sort of band?
Well, the first thing that Ty asked me was if I wanted to play in a noise rock band.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say generally that was the idea that was being ran with, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea what that entailed. And here we are.
We recently discovered in an interview that Gary didn't even,
I didn't even know what the name of the band was when I said
what
yes.
The project was about.
Like, or what it was. No, until we nothing was told to me, actually, until I showed up for rehearsal the first day.
Yeah. But for Ty and I, like, we knew it was going to be noisy from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I always knew that if I was going to write about this subject matter, that it would have to be really harsh and noisy and extreme because the subject matter merits that kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin didn't even want to be in a noisy band.
That's true. I was at the time studying contemporary jazz music in school. And then, yeah, Ty and I and Gareth were playing in a like folk group, basically. And then Ty was like, dude, I want to start a noise band. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be a part of that. And then
I would rather watch B movie.
Yeah, I'd rather watch B movie. But somehow I'm here and it's awesome. I love it.
Thank God.
In terms of like writing the music, you said that, you know, you were always going to do this sort of like a kind of heavier thing. So it wasn't going to be just like frivolous, whatever, love songs or whatever. But I do feel like you marry some of those themes really well because like I've watched some of your sets online and it's like you kind of watch the light go out in some ways. Like you watch the hope die and you kind of like put it in context of not just being like, there's this trauma that's like detached from everything else. And you really put it in context and like you watch a life lived out on stage almost.
That's beautiful. Thank you for putting it that way. Yeah. I mean, the whole idea with the album, because we didn't just start writing songs and like dicking around. We pretty much started from the ground with this like outline that I had constructed that had this narrative arc that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't like necessarily come from a musical background. I studied creative writing. So I think about things in terms of stories and how to like impact people emotionally with stories. So yeah, I thought a lot about how like you can't just hit people over the head with like anger right from the start. Because anger exists in context of other things. Grief exists in the context of love, like all these other things. And like hope at the end of the set, I hope there's like a little bit of hopefulness or something. That's up for other people's interpretations, I guess. But I like that interpretation that you put forward. Thank you.
It came specifically from one song where you start off going, I wanted to be a romance novelist or something like that. And then there's a complete breakdown into, can you tell me a bit more about like writing those songs? Because I also know that people watching this, some of these songs aren't even out there. So, you know, just give people a bit of context to all that.
Yeah, we opened the set with this song called Singer. I wanted to be a singer. We call it Singer. So I wanted to start the set with something that immediately sort of like let people know that they were going to be forced to look at themselves in a way that might be uncomfortable. Because while I was writing this record and performing it, like I just noticed that there was this sort of romanticization of the pain and the screaming that I was like, okay, how much is this art that I'm making actually contributing to this sort of glamorization of women's pain and violence? So I wanted to like start the set and the album off with like this thing that's like, I would have liked to be good at any other type of writing if I had the choice.
Yeah.
I would like to be in a band where I can get on stage and, you know, wear a pretty dress and sing and feel good. But that's not the reality. That's not what I happen to be an expert in. So let's just stop and take a moment and think about what you're going to watch before you come up to me after drunk saying that I pissed all over you. I just kind of like yeah, I wanted to immediately confront people. And that comes after a moment where I like introduce the set and give a trigger warning. Because I think that at the same time, like you said, like these things exist in context. So at the same time as I want to confront people, I want to make sure it's like a safe space where people can experience the benefits of being challenged and actually like grow from their experience of watching us in whatever way they decide that they want to or need to grow.
When I grow up, I want to be an astronaut.
When I grow up, I want to be an artist.
When I grow up, I want to be a football player.
When I grow up, I want to be a cat hotel owner.
When I grow up, I want to be a baseball player.
When I grow up, I want to be...
No metaphors. No techniques. I don't know if writing about violence is helping me. Am I helping you? I keep trying to make my pain mean something. Turn my pain into something useful. I spend my life trying to turn my pain into something beautiful. I wanted to write romance novels. Now I need perfect control over my victim narrative. The story of a girl who was silent and powerless. Cliche to write about being powerless as a girl! I wanted to own an animal sanctuary with my baby sister. But I was bitten by a dog and now animals scare me. I wanted to write romance novels. I wanted to feel safe in my body. I wanted to be a singer. People would listen! 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 Listen to me, please! This is not a song! It's so hard! I learned some people only believe you when your knees are bleeding. I learned some people only listen when you're screaming! I wanted to be a singer.
Every year, millions and millions of pictures are made of women with our legs spread, our genitals are tied up, they're pasted. Millions and millions of pictures are made of us in postures of submission and sexual access. And the major motif of pornography as a form of entertainment is that women are raped and violated and humiliated until we discover that we like it. And at that point, we ask for more. Chosen one! We're not like the other horns! We're the mere horns!
I don't.
Some words are bigger than bodies. I never learned how to get them out of my mouth.
Women don't come! 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 Women don't come!
Oh, there's a stickiness on my tongue that never washes out! It always feels like it, and I can't say that I don't! Some words are bigger than my head! I never learned how to get them out of my mouth.
But also, like, people who've not seen you guys live may have only heard of those three songs, as which are demos. Where did you guys record those demos? Because they're very, like, DIY, right?
Yeah, we recorded them in the basement where we lived. And then the vocals we recorded in a van that I have. I have, like, this camper van. And we drove out into like an industrial area and screamed in the van. And like, yeah, some people were popping their heads in to be like, what's going on? Yeah. Yeah, it was sort of done in a mixture of a van and a basement.
And all that was just to be like considered neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to scare our
still gotta pay the rent and
all. Yeah.
But so you've got those three demos out on Bandcamp. And that's basically all the exposure that people have to you. But like all these shows have been selling out and people have been really excited. And it feels really genuinely word of mouth. So how is the, because I feel like when people come saying, oh, someone I know told me about you guys and really, really recommended I see you and all of that, I feel like the audience comes in expecting more and like connects with it a bit more strongly. Mm. So how have you guys found the audience response to be?
Yeah, we've been so lucky. Like, for me, I moved away from my home where I, you know, experienced a lot of things and knew a lot of people and moved into this scene in Vancouver. And everybody was telling me, don't move to Vancouver. It's hard to make friends. You're committing suicide to your music career, which is crazy because I make punk music. So I never thought I was going to have a career. and yeah, it was like the complete opposite. Like from the very first show that we played, I was overwhelmed by how warm people were and how, yeah, thoughtful. Like people would come to shows in Vancouver, like over and over and over again, even though we played the same set. And
even like before the shows though, too, like people found the demos before we even played.
Yeah.
And like,
there were people at the first show.
Yeah. Like, and like, didn't Sterling see the demos online? Yeah. And that's how he, yeah.
Shout out Sterling.
Yeah. Like, I was like, yeah, don't look at it. But yeah, no, it's been.
Yeah. We didn't even promo the demos when we released them. We just like put them out and we were like, yeah, the demos are up. You want to listen? yeah. The word of mouth is really awesome. And I feel like it's allowed us to meet a lot of really cool people. There are always like a row of people at the front who are, I can just like see in their faces, they're like really connecting. And that's what makes me feel safe, because it's like this symbiotic relationship that I have where I'm sharing something that is difficult to share, but it doesn't feel that difficult in the moment when we have that. The only shows where I feel really anxious and nervous is when I kind of feel like this is not like an underground or DIY crowd that I'm used to, like in Vancouver. Then I'm kind of like, oh, this is a lot of men looking at me. And like, I'm glad that men come to the shows. And I'm glad that they resonate with it and they're welcome. But yeah, I think that the response from femme people, queer people has been, that's like the most important thing to me.
So everything turned out all right because you prevailed.
Right.
That's
the
point.
The thing.
And you weren't a victim in the sense
pick
because
pick up the pieces.
Right.
Yeah.
Go on with your life.
Right. Move on. And
so how long before that beautiful body was being used again? Probably for years you wouldn't even use it.
Oh, no. You gotta get right back in.
In the saddle?
Away, just trying to run in a different.
different direction, knew I wouldn't make it. Fragile left against the ball on my own.
I think, like, a reaction is sort of what one of the best case scenarios in some of these performances, because they are visceral. Mm-hmm. They are meant to, like, make you start thinking about something as well. Mm-hmm. And you deal very openly with themes of sexual assault, of, like, misogyny, of violence, mm-hmm. Of, like, trauma and carrying it forward. And I've heard people say this as well. It's more like performance art than just punk or, like, a hardcore show.
Yeah.
So was that like a planned thing? Because, like, when you go in, it's very different from what a normal punk show would look like.
Mm, yeah, it actually, I mean, the narrative arc of the music was very carefully planned. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that it was going to be perceived like that, because it doesn't feel like theater to me, because it's my real story. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't like, oh, this is a play or anything. But I understand now that it's, like, perceived that way. And so I tried to kind of, like, think about that mindfully when I'm performing. And it's been really fun. It's kind of like a new art form that I never really thought about before.
Yeah, I think of that when I think of songs like Blocking Out a Scene You Can't Remember. Like, that one really, because it's so spoken word and everything. Yeah. And, like, I think people are really looking at you, your face, your, like, body language in that particular song. Mm-hmm. That I think that really makes it feel kind of performance art. Mm. Even though it's set to, like, almost indie guitars.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, the monologue format of it, too, mm-hmm. probably aids in that. Yeah.
And then along with that, there's also, like, the field recording. So I feel like there are two sides to the Piss show. Mm. It's not just putting, like, your life, your experiences in context of your life, but it's also, like, putting the personal in the context of the political. Mm. So you've got these, like, speeches, the field recordings, the sort of lectures that happen at the start and the end of the songs. So I kind of want to know why you decided to have those in your music as well.
Yeah. Yeah. When we were structuring out the record, I wanted to give as many different opinions or, like, different reflections on the subject matter, because I don't believe that there's one single ideology or solution to the problem. And I also thought, this is kind of a long-winded roundabout way to get to the answer that you are looking for, but when I was studying poetry, I would think a lot about the accessibility of poetry and how, like, I would be writing poems for people that I grew up with, so, like, working-class people. Meanwhile, not a lot of working-class people feel like they can really attach themselves to poetry or can really, like, sink their teeth into it, at least the people that I grew up with. So I was always thinking about this sort of, like, how do I write poetry that's for the people I'm writing it for without patronizing them? Because these people aren't idiots. They're just not, they don't have the literary education. So it's, like, less accessible to them. So what I tried to do with this record was look at accessibility less as, like, grading language or dumbing things down, and more like adding as many access points, sort of like doors, into the record. So if you like a certain type of genre of music, we pulled different, like, genre influences throughout the record. So we have, like, a slowcore song, we have a grindcore inspired song, we got, like, a punk song. So you can hear something and be like, oh, I like that. And then you're sort of invited into this thing where you're also going to see a bunch of stuff that challenges you a little bit. And it was the same with the samples. It's providing all these different writers and also people who could speak a lot more articulately on the subject matter than I can. Like, these are genius people who have been talking about this for a really long time. And thirdly, to give this idea of violence in our culture being omnipresent and something that you just can't escape no matter where you go. You can go to books and movies and music, and you'll find it everywhere. The impacts of it are far-reaching. Interior. A girl's bedroom. Nighttime. A girl lays on her back in the dark, staring at the cut. Sorry, I could do better. Again. Interior, a girl's bedroom. Nighttime. A girl lays on her back in the dark, staring at the ceiling. Something has been
Cut. Sorry. Again. A girl lays on her back in the dark, staring at the ceiling. Something has been weighing on her for a long time. The room is lit by the face of her cell phone. His number is dialed. She's finally going to cut. Again. A girl lays on her back in the dark, staring at the ceiling. Something has been weighing on her for a long time. The room is lit by the face of her cell phone. His number is dialed. She's finally going to let him have it. At first, I thought I was only dreaming. You cut again. At first, I thought I was only dreaming. You saying you've only ever known violence, but there was a cut again. But there was a kindness in what you cut again. But there was a kindness in what you did. How each night you cut again. How each night you waited for me to leave so you could cut again. How each night you waited for me to leave so you could be alone with my body. It was just a dream. Each night I sunk into the cut again. I sunk into the cut again. I sunk into the dark and woke with different limbs, teeth stitched to the back of my lips, and fingers sewn in the wrong places. And I still feel the cut again. I still feel the weight of all that skin cut again. I still feel the weight of all that skin cut again. I still feel the weight of all that skin. While you wake up every morning, stepping light as ever. Does your wife know that cut again? Does your wife know that cut again? Does your wife know that you sewed your hands on my cut? No! Does your wife know that you sewed your hands on my back? Everyone after you has tried to cut again. Everyone after you has tried to cut again. Everyone after you has tried to amputate, but all I do is bleed, cut again. All I do is bleed, cut again. All I do is bleed. Will you tell your children bedtime stories about me? The sleepwalker, crawling with teeth, fingers in her mouth. Too many hands, cut again. Too many hands, cut again. Too many hands to count. Too many hands to count. Too many hands to cut. I want to give it all back to you. I know what you did was all you knew. I know what you did was all you knew. I know what you did. I know what you did. Interior. A girl's bedroom. Nighttime. A girl lays on her back in the dark, staring at the ceiling. Something has been weighing on her for a long time.
It also feels like there's a healing process on stage every night. So it's like you go in there, you're tackling like these really heavy themes, but for all of you guys, it feels like it's a really cathartic kind of hour or so as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the thing that makes me able to be just completely free to feel safe and like unravel the way that I do is because everything is so meticulously crafted and it's very planned. Like I know everything that's going to happen. We've been rehearsing it. It's like very within my control. And also these guys, like they've dedicated their talents and strengths to uplifting what I have to say.
So what's coming up next for you guys? Like, I imagine there's a busy year ahead.
Yeah, we got a month of rest, and then we'll be doing some winter dates around Canada. We are going to Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatoon. That's in January. We are playing Tree Fort in Idaho in March. We're just shooting some music videos for our album release.
Where can people keep up with you guys best? Just your Bandcamp page?
Yeah, we...
And Neopets.
Neocities. I saw that. Your website is actually like a Geocities or it's a Neopets. No,
I refer to it as Neopets.
Yeah, we have a website that I coded myself on Neocities. And I don't keep up with it as much as I should. But we do have an Instagram that we all run. If you message us there, you'll get one of us. And yeah, we're on Bandcamp right now. But record coming summer 2026.
Yeah. Yay! Well, thanks so much to the Houndstooth for having us. And thanks so much to you guys for taking out the time and doing this just before your show. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. There's a lot of unsuspecting people who are going to have their minds blown today.
Thank you.
And I hope they go away having like learned something from it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Awesome.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
That was such a beautiful and thoughtful interview.
Oh, thank you.
I'm ready for a beer.
Hi, I'm Tay.
I'm Gareth.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Gavin.
We are Piss, and you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Hey, my name's Will. I play in the Woolly Leaves, Constantines, and the Lifeless Souls. You're listening to CFRC 101.9.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, different circles is moving. Same day, different time slot. We're now on Fridays at 9 p.m. Join me from 9 to 10 p.m. for an adventure through sound. Who knows? You might just find your next favorite song.
I've never met a doll I didn't like. If you are a fan of Doll or Lentil Curry too, listen to The Doll Project on CFRC 101.9 FM, Thursdays from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Join me, Sayada, in learning to cook many kinds of dal or lentil curry from across the South Asian diaspora while talking about culture, migration, and memory.
Hello, you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. It is now 11:30. Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. This program features smoking hot local singles released right here in Kingston, Ontario that have been featured in the weekly Release Radar series. Local artists can get in on the action with social media promotion and airplay on our airwaves by completing the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, let's dive right into some great singles across genres recently released here in Kingston by local artists. We're going to start things off with a great new single called Lifer by local rocker Lucas Wimmer. Lucas recorded the song at his home studio, creating a sonic departure from his previous release by exploring the heavier territory that was the foundation of his musicianship. Follow the artist at CLKW2002 on Instagram to keep up with the latest news. Here's Lifer by Lucas Wimmer now, here on the Release Radar Rundown.
Prison I've all known.
And welcome back. You just heard Lifer by Lucas Wimmer. Up next, we have two double A-side singles released in the spring by Oak Ridge Ave as a parting gift to Kingston before their final goodbye show at the Toucan on March 27th. We'll listen to both Claptrap, a no-nonsense feel-good indie rock bop track recorded right here in Kingston at Vinyl Safari Studio, as well as the second song, Makeshift, recorded during the band's wind-up let-go sessions with Juno Award-winning producer Hoxley Workman. Thanks for 10 great years, Oak Ridge Ave. You'll be missed. Here's Claptrap and Makeshift from the band now.
It's a miracle policy. would still make sense. Clap, trap, try it again. Better days, and I mean no offense. Sunny waves disappearing in the present tense. Clap, trap, try it again.
And you just heard Oak Ridge Ave's Makeshift and Claptrap here on the Release Radar Rundown. Up next, we've got a fun one from local rockers Screamin' Sins, who've reached back to their psychobilly roots with the release of their latest single, Deal With The Devil, streaming live and now available for purchase on Bandcamp. Give it a spin and be sure to add it to your most dark and devilish playlist. Don't forget to give the band a follow at Screamin' Sins on Instagram. Here's Deal With The Devil now on the Release Radar Rundown. And welcome back to the Release Radar Rundown. You just heard some fun psychobilly action from Screamin' Sins called Deal With The Devil. We're going to mellow things out a lot right now with some new music by Mellow Lily called Symphony, a lovely song capturing the joy and spontaneity of music discovered in everyday life. Inspired by busking on the streets of Kingston, the song blends ukulele, bass, and drums into a bright, uplifting sound. With cheerful, inviting vocals, it delivers a simple but powerful message. Music isn't confined to stages or studios. It's all around us, waiting to be heard if we take a moment to listen. Here's Symphony by Mellow Lily right now on CFRC 101.9 FM. Thank you for joining us. Thank you.
sounds like whoa, oh, oh.
And that was Symphony by local artist Mellow Lily here on the Release Radar Rundown. Up next, we've got the latest single by Sons of Rick called Fusion Frenzy, a high-energy garage rock track inspired by the classic original Xbox party game that brought the band closer together through late-night couch co-op chaos. The song delivers punchy riffs and catchy lyrics that stay lingering in your head as an earworm long loved by fans at their live shows. Let's go. And that was Fusion Frenzy by Sons of Rick. And we're almost out of time on our show today. Stay tuned next week for the fourth installment of Leave It All on the Stage with Tom Savage, featuring conversations with Chris Brown and Piner. And before signing off, today's intro and outro bed is an older single from Chris Brown's Wolf Island-based band The Ropes called From the River. And just a reminder that local musicians who want their work amplified on social media and aired on CFRC can complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via Visit Kingston.Music on Instagram. And don't forget to give us a follow at CFRC Music as well. For now, we're going to end our show with a track from Seth W.J. Hunt's new EP, Somewhere Between Here and Brooklyn, a project Seth undertook on his own, alone in a room with just one mic and no bells and whistles. The EP blends thoughtful sounds and storytelling influences, including Wilco, Bright Eyes, and Cameron Hunter, arriving at original songs that are both intimate and personal, alongside the reimaginings of iconic Chili Peppers and Pearl Jam songs, Other Side and Black. From Seth, we'll end the show with an original from him called Stay. Thanks for tuning in to the Release Radar Rundown, developed in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. We'll see you next time.
try that again.
I'll go back to your house if you want. Can you take me back? And I'll do anything you want me to do. And I'll sit back and relax. And I will stay until tomorrow. And then I'll take the train back home. It's not the home that I wanted. It's not the home that I need. But I'll stay. But I'll stay. But I'll stay. But I'll stay.